good singing and good special music. Kids, if you like, you can go with Sarah Children's Church this morning. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Thankful today to celebrate Independence Day in America. And while we certainly don't, we need to be careful that we don't equate being American with being Christian, although sometimes we're guilty of that. We mustn't forget the fact that our nation was founded on Christian principles and by men who were Christians. Every member who, by the way, signed the Declaration of Independence, except for one, was a member of a local church. And so, people will want to deny, our heritage and the founding of our nation, and we should be thankful for the freedom we have. There are places all around the world where churches meet in secret, and they're limited to what they can preach and where they can meet and how long they can meet and how many people can gather. But we live in a land that has fought for centuries for the right to gather and to worship as we desire. And that's something we should never take for granted. And so Peter writes to the church at a time when it had been persecuted. And it was not popular to be a Christian. And the book of First Peter is written as an encouragement to the church to be faithful to what God has called them to do. And what God desires for us to do and what the world needs for us to do as Christ Church is to be purely about Jesus and following Jesus. Because it's not cliche. I really believe that Jesus is the only answer for this world. All the problems that this world has and all the problems that you have can only be solved by the ultimate problem solver, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus is concerned about whatever problems we face in life. And he is the answer. Now, that doesn't mean we just pray and God, if we're doing right, we're going, going to church, doing things we're supposed to do as Christians, that all our problems are going to wash away. We all know that's not true. And Peter writes to encourage people that were enduring great hardship and persecution for their faith in Christ. Hey, listen, you be faithful to Jesus and don't sell out to this world. Now, there's a lot of people that are tempted and there's a lot of pressure even upon Christian churches to sell out to political correctness and to not preach the gospel and to just preach messages of happiness and messages that we'll like. Well, there's parts of God's Word where it should make us happy and but there's also a lot of God's Word that ought to challenge us and break our hearts and break our spirits and say, hey, listen, dum-dum, you're not doing right and you need to quit. And so Peter addresses how we're to live in the face of adversity. And we're living in a time, certainly, where we're facing adversity for the cause of Christ. So let's begin reading. We're going to read verse 13 through 25 of 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. But if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So Peter reminds us that, hey, listen, it's not about your comfort. It's not about your happiness. God is concerned much more about your holiness than he is your happiness. And Peter reminds us of that truth. And he says, listen, you've been changed by this relationship that you have found with Jesus. And if Jesus saved you and cleansed you and made you new, Peter's going to echo Paul's sentiment. If Christ has set you free, and Jesus, remember, said in the Gospel of John, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then it says in a couple verse down, in verse 36, if the truth has set you free, then you are free indeed. And so Peter says, listen, you are not of this world. And he even reminds us this world is not our home. That we are just passing through. But understanding that we're just passing through does not mean that we shouldn't be concerned about this world and how we live our life. Quite the opposite. Peter says, listen, you're here temporarily. So while you're here, in the little bit of time you have here, you make sure you speak loudly for Christ. Make sure that Jesus shines through your life and through your actions and through your words. And so we find that truth here in these 13 verses that we read this morning. Peter wants us to understand that when we're following Jesus and we're seeking after nothing by him, there's some evidences that are true of our life. Now, I want to, at the onset, remind us that Peter is not saying that we're saved by loving others or doing these good things. Rather, he says, because you are saved, you're going to do these things. And so let's take a look and see what he says, how our life is different when we're following Jesus and we're seeking to be pure Jesus followers. So the first is this, that the fact that we're seeking after Jesus purely is evidenced by changed conduct. Peter again, he said, listen, you once were following after the things of this world. Man, you were, some of you this last week were, man, you were excited about Mississippi State and their wild win of the World Series, and hey, that's wonderful and good. But can I tell you, if Mississippi State Bulldogs or Ole Miss, whatever they are, I don't even know what they are. They don't either. Rebels. Rebels, okay. I knew Tim would know. Or any other sports team, if that's what your life is centered around, you're in trouble. It's centered around the wrong thing. If your life is centered around other people, if it's centered around yourself, it's centered around the wrong thing. Peter says, listen, you have been changed. You've been bought with the price. You're new. So he said, therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest in the hope fully upon the grace that is brought by Jesus, obeying what God has told us. Not of our former desires, not after the former lusts of this world, but we're to seek and we're to follow after Jesus. And our conduct fleshes that out. Peter reminds us a quote from the book of Leviticus. He says, you know what? God, the one who's called you, the one that's redeemed you, he's holy. You be like him. Because Scripture says, I am holy, therefore you be holy. God expects his people's lives and conduct to be different. Well, the truth of the matter is this, though, friends. If you try in your own strength to change something about you, you're going to fail, most likely. Because we can't do it. We're weak. Perhaps some of you have tried to quit smoking or quit drinking or quit other things, overeat, whatever it might be that you've tried to quit. And chances are, if you've tried to quit, you've tried to quit dozens of times. Because you quit and it lasts for a day, but then something happens or something gets on your nerve or something and you're right back. So, I'm going to quit. But you see, Peter tells us, and Paul tells us, Jesus told us, listen, Jesus Christ can change your life. And he does. But in your own power and your own strength, you cannot change anything. In fact, Jesus said, without me, you can do no good thing. Jesus himself said, listen, you can't accomplish anything without me. But then what does Paul tell us in Philippians 4:13? He says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And friend, you can live a better and a holier life in Christ's strength. You can't do it in your own strength. And you don't do it so you earn salvation. But can I tell you, the more that Jesus lives in you and you live with him, the holier you become. I'm going to tell you, I don't think this side of heaven you ever get perfect. That will happen when we get to heaven. We get a glorified body. Because in this old sinful world, we wrestle with this old flesh. Though Paul tells us that Jesus Christ died to take away flesh's control over us, it still likes to battle. And it still tries to exert control, and unfortunately, sometimes we let it have control. And so Peter says, be diligent. Be sober, understand and remember the grace that came to you. And so he says, remember that you're going to stand before Jesus, the one who died and gave his life and shed his innocent blood for your sin debt. One day you're going to stand before him. So because you've received that gift, you live your life in such a way, by changed conduct, that you don't have to be ashamed when you stand before Jesus. You know, little kids, growing up, you know, we always thought mom had eyes in the back of her head, because she always knew when me and my brother had done something wrong. Well, the truth was, she didn't know, but she could look at me and look at my brother and know we had done something wrong without even asking. So Peter says, you live your life in such a way that God doesn't have to be ashamed to call you his son or his daughter. And you live your life and your conduct in such a way that when the world sees your life, they say, you know what? I knew that Aaron Baldridge before he met Christ. And now I see him today, and there's something different. Something's happened. And praise God, it has. And so Peter says, listen, what saved you was not corruptible things. It wasn't your flesh. He was writing to a primarily Jewish audience, and the Jews thought that, hey, listen, we're circumcised, we're a covenant people of God. Hey, we're good. and we're going to make it no matter what. And that's how they lived. But Peter reminds them, listen, your redemption does not come in something of the flesh, and it's not bought. You can't buy it. It's not with gold and silver. Your redemption was bought by the precious, sinless blood of God Himself, who loved you and loved me and loved the whole world, that He gave, He came Himself. That whoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And see, when God comes into your life, He changes you. And you are not the same. You are not under the same ownership, and you are not under following the same directives and the same priorities. You've got a new Lord, and His name is Jesus. And you've got a new direction, and it's not self-promotion. Rather, it's humbleness and service and devotion to God. And so he says, listen, if you're purely following Jesus, it's going to show in your conduct. But he also says that not only if you're following Jesus, it will be evidenced by a personal profession. Again, he said, you are not saved by earning enough silver and enough gold to bring to the temple and give to the priest, and then you're forgiven. And listen, since early in the church's history, and even today, there's some preachers that say, hey, listen, I know what you've done. God knows what you've done. Hey, for $1,000, I can take care of that for you. And so people will fork over money, thinking that that's not the way it works. We can't buy ourselves out of trouble. And the reason we can't is because God didn't demand money. The Scripture tells us that the price for sin is blood. And not just any blood, but sinless blood, perfect blood. And the thing about it is that none of us have it. And so God Himself came, and He had sinless, perfect blood, and He gave that blood for the sin debt that I owed, and that you owed, and that all the world owed, that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. But Paul says, listen, you were changed not by buying things or being good, but by professing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Sometimes you don't always feel saved. What, preacher, you mean I can be... Listen, your salvation is not based on your feelings. And praise God for that. Because there's some days we feel really close to the Lord, but then there's other days when we have really blown it, and man, we've made a mess of our life, and we've made, you know, we've slapped God in the face, and we're utterly ashamed of ourselves. And guess what? God still says, even in those days, you're mine. You belong to me. And so Peter says, your salvation is based upon not the corruptible seed of flesh, but on the incorruptible seed, which is Jesus. And you know, if you've sincerely put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're saved. Doesn't matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what others think. You know, if you've made that decision, sincerely or not, there are a lot of people that say they've made that decision, but their life doesn't measure up. There's not that evidence of changed conduct that we talked about just a minute ago. But Jesus said, listen, don't be ashamed. Paul says this, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. We are saved by putting our faith in Christ and professing. That's what the professing is. Now, we're not ashamed, we're not embarrassed, we're not put off by Jesus. Rather, we've made a profession. We're not ashamed to tell people, hey, I am a Jesus follower. He's my Lord. He's made a difference in my life. And yet, so often we find it easier to talk about those bulldogs or whoever our team is than we find talking about Jesus. And we get a lot more excited at ball games and races and whatever other events than we do about Jesus and about church. And I tell you, God doesn't like that. And that's not the message that this world needs to hear. I'm not saying don't be excited for your team. I'm not even saying don't be passionate. You should be passionate for your team, but you be more passionate about Jesus than you are any football team or baseball team or soccer team or fishing team or whatever other team. And then he says, listen, if you're following after Jesus, there's a third evidence that's going to show up, that's going to crop up. Not only is there a changed conduct, not only is there this profession that you have personally made, and that's the thing, that nobody can make that profession for you. You have to make it for yourself. Nobody gets to heaven on somebody else's coattails. You have to make that decision for yourself. But then Peter says there's a last evidence that's going to come out and be glowing, and that's lasting love. Peter says if Jesus Christ has come into your life, God has shown you love, and so that love has been poured into you, and you're becoming like Jesus. Guess what Peter says? He said that love of God for you and your love for God is going to manifest itself in a love for others. Now, it's easy to love ourselves. We don't have a problem with that. In fact, some of us love ourselves a little bit too much sometimes and need to work on the opposite of that. But Peter says, hey, listen. If you obey the truth, verse 1, through the Spirit, he says it shows up in a sincere love of the brethren. So you're going to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And not just love them. Notice what he said. He said, you're going to love them fervently. In other words, you're going to love them abundantly. You're going to love them so much that they're going to say, ooh, quit being so lovey-dovey. That you're going to be gracious to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're going to be concerned about them. And when they have a hurt, you're going to hurt right along with them. And when they have a joy, you rejoice right along with them. But notice what he said, with a pure heart. So not out of, listen, I don't love Seth so that he'll love me. I love Seth because Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves Seth. So Seth is my brother. And Seth has to love me, not because I'm his preacher, but because I'm a brother in Christ. And Jesus said he had to, whether he wanted to or not. So Peter says, hey, listen. And by the way, Jesus said the same thing. He told his disciples, they'll know you belong to me by you being good. That's not what he said. By you preaching good messages, that's not what he said either. He said, they will know you belong to me by the love that you have for one another. You know, and I'm so thankful for a church that loves. We're not a perfect church by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm thankful we're a church that loves one another. And I'm thankful that when I'm sick, I have people that pray for me and call and check on me and make, you know, make me noodle soup and you know, those kind of things that help us feel better. And I hope you're thankful for that too, and you realize that, listen, how has God loved us? God loves us unconditionally, and He loves us fervently. He loves us so much that He pursues after us even when we're trying to run away from Him. When we're trying to run away from Him, He's running after us. Most of the time we say, hey, listen, they don't want my love, let them go. You know, I tried to love them, but they wouldn't have it, and so I'm writing them off. Well, I'm thankful God never writes any of us off. And friends, we shouldn't write anyone off either, because there's not a single person that's beyond the stretch and beyond the touch of God being able to save them and redeem them. And He might just use your love for one another and for them to bring that person to the Lord. There is a lot, listen, it's getting even worse. There is a lot of hate in this world. You don't have to look hard for hate. And by the way, hate comes naturally to the human because it's sin. And we don't have to work hard at sinning, do we? It comes naturally to us. And there's so much hate in this world. People hate people because of, you know, how they live or the color of their skin or how much money they make or what language they speak. And, you know, if you're different from me, I hate. That's crazy. God says, listen, you be different. That's the way the world thinks. But God said, you love. In fact, Jesus even said, don't just love your brothers and sisters. Jesus said, love your enemies. Love those that despitefully use you. Love those that take advantage of you. Love those that are so hard to love. Can I tell you? The people that are the hardest to love are the ones that need it the most. And so Peter says, hey, listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to live a life that honors and pleases Him, and you have truly experienced this pure relationship with Jesus, it's going to be evidenced, again, by three things. By changed conduct, by a personal profession, and by a love that you have for others. A lingering love, a lasting love. And so, friend, let me ask you this morning as we wrap up, if I were to look at your life, just to put you on trial this morning, is there evidence of these things in your life? I'm not saying are they perfect, because this side of heaven, again, we're not going to measure up to that standard. But these things should be true in our life if we know Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, every day we walk with Jesus, these three things should be more and more and more and more true of our life, so that when we get to heaven and we stand for it, it's no big change. Because God has been working this process in us, and these three things, these three evidences have been true in our life here. So friend, are they true in your life? I hope you can say, yeah, they're true in my life. And that's something you need to thank God for. Say, Lord, thank you for the difference you've made in my life. If you were here today and you say, you know what, preacher, not really a lot of evidence of those things in my life. Well, here's the good news. Jesus will meet you right where you are, and He'll redeem you, not by money and not by you doing stuff, being good and earning it, but by simply trusting in Him and receiving the wonderful gift that He gave when He paid your sin debt and my sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And if you'll receive that gift, guess what? The Bible says that you become a new creation. And if you're a new creation, then these three things begin to become true of your life. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I know I'm saved. I've made that personal profession, but you know what, the change has not been evident, not because God doesn't want to change me, but because I haven't been willing to surrender some area of my life to Him. And I know it needs to change, and I've tried to change it on my own, and it hadn't worked. And it won't work, friend. But I can tell you, if you'll give it to Jesus, He will change it. So you know what, there are some people it's easy to love. But there are some people, oh, it's so hard. And I need Jesus to help me. You know, God can speak to us and God can use us. Thankful that God is still working on me and He's still working on you to make us purely like Jesus. Let's pray again. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love. I pray, Lord, if there's one here today or one watching on Facebook or YouTube that doesn't know You, Lord, would You help them today to receive the great gift of salvation, the gift of new life, the gift of freedom. Lord, maybe there's one of Your children here today that they're not walking with You, and these three things are not evident in their life, but they'd like to change that today. Would You help them to say, God, forgive me and restore me? Lord, however You've spoken to our hearts today, help us to make a choice that we're going to live wholly, wholly for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Let's sing.